We do have one other announcement for this morning. Just want to call attention that tomorrow is Michael's birthday. Michael serves us and our community in so many ways, so sacrificially. He is my brain, and he facilitates the church in almost all ways. He teaches our youth of Jesus and the scriptures, and he also protects the town and oversees both the fire and ambulance. And this little COVID thing is he's got to oversee also. So there are many things, and he's pulled in many directions. And we thank the Lord for you and ask that you would have a blessed day tomorrow of continuing to do all those things. So let us go to the Lord in prayer. Oh, blessed Jesus, we praise your holy name. We thank you, Lord, that we can gather together across space, O Lord God, that we gather in our homes through Facebook, and we gather here physically, and because of you, Lord Jesus, we are one. We are one body. Thank you, Lord. By extension, we also gather with our brothers and sisters around the world, Lord God. Your Spirit, for we are one church under Jesus. I ask your blessing upon your church. I ask your protection. I ask, O God, for your Spirit to be upon us, that you would draw us to you, Lord, that we would love you, that we would love one another, that you would manifest your glory through us, Father, that you would make yourself known to the nations, Lord. Here we are. Send us, O Lord, we pray. Father, as we study your word and continue to study through the book of Galatians, Lord, would you please deeply ingrain within our hearts and our minds and our souls the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. That yes, we would know it in our heads, but we would experience it through the working of your Holy Spirit in our souls now, O Lord God. That we would be born again. And that we would trust you and walk in you and believe you and obey you and worship you, O Lord God. So come now, we pray, and speak to us through your scriptures. It is in the name of Jesus that we pray. Amen. Amen. So we continue on in the book of Galatians. In our section this morning, it's only five verses. Paul's going to use some different language, different vocabulary than that which he has been using. But it is a similar message that we will hear. He's really looking again at two ways to live. He's looking at two different alternatives, with the central focus of living being about returning to a relationship with God. He's acknowledging that the human condition is such across all of humanity that because of sin, we are apart from God. We are separated from God. And that our greatest need is to be brought into relationship with God, to come to the Lord who made us and who formed us, who is our Father, who loves us. And he's asking, how do we do that? How do we, as sinful human beings, come into a relationship with a holy God? The two different alternatives, the two different ways that Paul is going to explore, one is, do we do that by being good? Do we work to become holy, like God is holy, so that we're no longer sinful and separated from God because of our sin, and then can be with God because we'll be good? Or does it have to be through something outside of us, that there's no way we can be good, and so we need to be made good, made righteous, made just by something outside of us? And these are the two ways to live. The two ways that Paul is wrestling with and asking, how do we come to God? So turn with me, please, to the book of Galatians, chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3, and this morning we will study through verses 10 through 14. 10 through 14. Paul's going to outline for us, or look at and wrestle with, two ways to walk. Galatians chapter 3, beginning in verse 10, hear the word of the Lord. For all who rely on works of the law are under a curse. For it is written, cursed be everyone who does not abide by all things written in the book of the law and do them. Now, it's evident that no one is justified before God by the law, for the righteous shall live by faith. But the law is not of faith. Rather, the one who does them shall live by them. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who is hanged on a tree. So that in Christ Jesus the blessing of Abraham might come to the Gentiles, so that we might receive the promised Spirit through faith. This is God's Word. Now, I think in some ways this passage, the flow, it's very Paul-like, and that it's slightly, I think, confusing when you read it, to really follow his, trying to follow his logic through each sentence. But when we look at it as a whole, he is pointing out two different ways to live. And the way he is pointing out, the way to live, the way to come to God, the way to be restored to fellowship with God, is by obeying the law. By obeying the law laid out in, as said in verses 10 through 12 here. In other words, by being good. By following the law that God gave us perfectly so that we would be holy, that we would be good. And the word Paul uses here is that we would be justified. So here's the question. How are we made right with God? That word justified, it's a legal term. Right? It's in a court of law. Right? It's not just being found not guilty, it's being found to be innocent at the heart of it. And in being innocent, to being accepted by God. That we are not guilty of sinning against God, of being in a state of sin and rebellion against God, but instead have been declared by God justified. No longer guilty. And he's saying that just right out, you know, point blank, he's not having any mystery here. He's saying that the way of life, the way to walk of obeying the law is not enough for us to be justified. It's not enough. And he goes back to the Old Testament to show this. In verse 10, he's quoting, cursed be everyone who does not abide by all things written in the book of the law and do them. So he's laying out that the command, the necessity in following the law in order to be brought back to God is perfection in keeping the law. That if we break any one of them, even once, we are cursed, the Scripture declares. It's hard to think about. We think about our loving God, our good God, our merciful God. He is all those things. Amen. But this calls out the devastating nature of sin. That there is a curse upon us because of sin. Right? We see that a little bit in the Garden of Eden when they are cast out from the tree of life. That in their sinning, in Adam and Eve sinning against God, there begins the process for the very first time of death. See, the effects of sin. As he declares in Romans chapter 6, verse 23, the wages, the price, what comes about from sin, the wages of sin are death. Sin brings about death. That's the curse that comes from it. And when we try to be justified before God, when we try to come into a right relationship with God by obeying the law, we fail. Never mind the entire Old Testament. You know, just try to work on the top 10, right? The 10 commandments. Can't do it. We cannot live perfectly under the law. And when we take that way of life, when we say, I'm going to come to God, I'm going to be in a relationship with God, I'm going to, as he's going to use as another description of the Christian life, have eternal life and go to heaven by being good. Sorry to be the one to call out what I think we all know, that we're not good enough. There is no good enough. And no one is good enough. God doesn't judge us on a scale where he weighs it and says, if you're better than 50% of the people, if you're, you know, in the top percentiles or whatever, then you're in. And there is no one except Jesus who has lived the same life. And no one who can. So if we are walking upon what we do, if we're hoping to come to God through what we do in our life, we will always be wanting, be found wanting. We'll always be under the curse and not be able to follow God, to join with God, to come back to God. He says it again in verse 12, talking about the law. He said the law is not of faith, which we'll get to in a second. Rather, quote again from the Old Testament, the one who does them, does the good works, does the law, shall live by them. So again, if you're going to go by the law, if you're going to stake your relationship with God on the law, you have to live by all the law perfectly all the time. And I hope that you can see that in your own life, that if that is the standard which the Scriptures declare here, we all fall short of the glory of God. We all fall short. We'll see in the next section, why then the law? Why did he give us the law? And we'll begin to see that in, Lord willing, in next week's passage. In a sense, it is not to send us in despair. It's not to send us chasing our tails, trying to live perfect lives by the law, but to show us our sinfulness and to show us our inability to live righteously and therefore say, we need something else if we are going to be made right with God. It's to point us to Christ. Law is sometimes called a signpost, pointing us to Christ and our need for a Savior. Paul then looks at a second way of life, another way to walk, and that is by faith in Jesus Christ. And we see this spread throughout this passage in verses 11 and then also in 13 and 14. In verse 11 it says, "Now it's evident that no one is justified before God by the law because," and this is going back to an Old Testament passage that he quoted last week, Genesis chapter 12, says, "The righteous shall live by faith." Right? This is pointing back to Abraham. When God said to Abraham, "I know you're old, and your wife is beyond childbearing age, but I want you to go outside and look at the stars. Can you count them?" "No, there's just too many." He says, "Your offspring is going to be that numerous." And instead of Abraham saying, "That's impossible, God," Scripture declares, Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. He lived by faith. So, the first thing we see that Paul is saying, what is the goal, or what is the blessing of the right way to live, the right way to come to God, of being joined back together again with God, in our language now, of being born again. The blessing of that, first he says, is we're justified, we're made right with God. That's the first blessing of the Christian life. And now in the second one here, we see eternal life is the blessing of being a Christian, of being born again, of restoring, of repairing the broken relationship that all humanity has with God. It's here, the righteous shall live by faith. That doesn't just mean, it does mean here and now, as we go about our day, how do we live? But it also means eternally, that we will live eternally. On the front of our bulletins is a wonderful passage from John 17:3, where Jesus defines eternal life. This is eternal life. How would you answer that? What is eternal life? I love this verse. We would think, you know, living forever, going to heaven, never dying, those are, you know, all true statements. But John 17, verse 3 says, "This is eternal life, to know God the Father and Jesus Christ whom He has sent." To know, to be in relationship with God, to be brought together with God and Jesus. Jesus is God, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. That is what it means to have eternal life. That's what it means to live. Yes, to experience that here and now and for all eternity. And how do we live? How do the righteous live? Those who have been made righteous live not by following the law, again, verse 11 here, but they live by faith. By faith. He says it again in verse 12, the very beginning. He says, "But the law is not by faith." So, there's the way to walk by the law or the way to walk by faith. He's distinguishing. He's separating these two ways here. The law is not by faith. Remember, to follow the law means we've got to follow it perfectly. And we can't. So, are we destined all for eternal damnation? No, because there is the way of faith. There is righteousness that comes about not through following the law and doing good works and being good. There is a righteousness, a holiness that comes about because of faith in Jesus Christ. And here's what's happened. It's scandalous what God did. It is outrageous what he reminds us of here in verse 13. We are under a curse because of the sin. We've broken the law and we're under a curse. That sounds harsh, but does it not make sense? We sin, we are guilty. Right? That makes total sense. That's the way the world works. Right? That's what justice is. Right? If I'm speeding and an officer of the law pulls me over and gives me a ticket, that's right. That's just. I broke the law, I get the punishment. God actually declares that too in the Old Testament. He works that concept of justice into the Old Testament law, the way that He called His nation Israel to live. Right? So that's the idea of an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. It was equal and just and right. There's a very famous ancient code of laws outside of God's laws called the Code of Hammurabi. One of the first codification of laws that we have from antiquity. And it's very interesting when the Code of Hammurabi, which are really held up as an amazing way of first trying to structure a society with clearly defined laws. And when you compare and contrast them to God's laws or God's ways. So, for example, in the Code of Hammurabi, it declares if you are a wealthy person and you murder a poor person, you pay a fine. If you are a poor person and you hit a wealthy person, you're executed. That doesn't make sense, does it? That's not just. The Code of Hammurabi also said, if you murder someone's son, that man gets to murder your son. Not you, your son. That's not right. That's not just. That's not good. God's ways are just because the one who commits the crime is the one who is punished. But God breaks that. God completely breaks that act of justice and what is right when it comes to Jesus and us. We are the ones who sinned. We are the ones who are under the curse because of our sin. And what does it say in verse 13? Christ redeemed us, bought us back, set us free from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. Jesus was perfect, sinless. The only one in all who have lived. And yet He took the curse that we deserve on Himself. And He went to the cross and died our death. And as Michael read from the scriptures this morning during our worship time, it wasn't just death, but even death on a cross. Now, a cross is made from a tree. Cross is wooden. And so, in the Old Testament, which Paul quotes here again, saying, cursed is everyone who is hanged on a tree. Now, it doesn't mean that if you're hanging on a tree, you then receive a curse. No, it means that's a sign. That's a symbol. Someone is hanged till death on a tree. That's a sign that, wow, not only has this person done something wrong in the civic, legal sense, but God's judgment is upon that person. Wow, this is really bad. It's a sign that God Himself has created to say, my divine judgment is upon that person. And that's what happens to Jesus as he hangs on a tree on the cross. Not just as he die our death in a nice way, he takes all of the curse that we deserve, all of the judgment of God that we deserve, and he takes it on himself. So that we, when we believe in Jesus, when we have faith in Jesus, that we are brought into a righteous relationship with God, that we are born again, that we are justified before God. Praise be to God. Aren't you guys glad you sat on this side this morning? This is like the way, keep pointing this way. It's like, this is the way of faith and this is the way. You guys, come on. There you go, Roger. Move over. Hop over. Yeah, yeah. If you're at home, you may want to move to the other side of the living room, depending on which side you're on, or the kitchen table. Paul closes out this passage by now listing a third blessing of the Christian life. Remember, the first is lists in this passage was justification, that we're put in right relationship with God. The second is eternal life, sin-free, live forever in the kingdom of God with Jesus. And now the third here is that in Christ being cursed in our place, says that we might now in Jesus receive the blessing of Abraham, which was the promise to the Gentiles to be brought into the family of God, so that we might receive the promised Spirit through faith. Again, through faith. The third blessing of the Christian life here that Paul's calling out is the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. That we have, when we believe in Jesus Christ, when we come to Him and by faith, that we are justified and brought into right relationship with God, that we are granted eternal life in the kingdom of God, and in the here and now, we receive the Holy Spirit who works within us to sanctify us, who works within us to recall all the truth of God, all the words that Jesus spoke, all of His truth, who intercedes for us before the Father, who blesses us with His fruit and with His gifts, that we may love the Lord and love one another, that He would be at work within us, raising us up, growing us up into more mature followers of Jesus Christ. Blessings of the Christian life. And it's not through being good, because we can never be good enough, but it's through faith in Jesus Christ who died on the cross for us, that we believe. We are saved by grace through faith, not by works. It is God's grace by faith that we are saved. Let's pray. Jesus, we thank You that You became a curse. You took on our curse, O Lord God. Oh, Jesus. No, it was not right. In Your love for us, You fulfilled all righteousness and took our place on the cross. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. May we believe You, Lord Jesus. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Amen.